Vanguard has over 30 million investors worldwide who believe in low-cost investing and long-term performance. This gives all of us the best chance of investment success. So when we say us, you realise we mean you. Vanguard, investing in us. Search Vanguard Effect. Before investing, consider your own circumstances, as Vanguard has not, and read the relevant Vanguard disclosure document available at vanguard.com.au. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.
It's time for Talking Automotive with VACC. Here's Dennis Walter with Jeff Gwillim, CEO of VACC.
14 to 10, Jeff Gwillim, good evening.
Dennis, good evening.
Jeff, I've never even thought about what you want to talk about tonight. Car data. So I'm driving along. I just presume that, you know, the computer was just sort of between me and maybe my mechanic and whatever. Please tell me it's not worse than that.
Well, it depends what car you're in, Dennis. And as we get into cars that are more and more autonomous, there's a lot of data activity happening in that car. So on cars, they've got things like LiDARs and radars, and they're looking around, they're part of your front brake assist and, you know, side impact systems. But a lot of that data is being sent off. It's being sent off to networks, mainly managed by the manufacturer or certainly the data manufacturer. And it's talking to the car and it's talking to a service provider. But as we move forward, Dennis, it could be talking to a whole range of different organisations that are part of, if you like, the motoring network. Now, you know, this is a big change because we know that there's been a big discussion in Australia about access to repair information. There's some legislation that's moving through the government on that. But this is much broader than that. And it's a bit like the beginning of the internet where we weren't ever sure whether the data that we were sharing online was good or bad. And, of course, sometimes we see things that are sent to us and we might think, gee, that's really handy, that the fact that somebody's managed to find out that I would need to buy some milk tomorrow and I'm going to get it on the way home. But on the other hand, around the world, there are conversations going on, Dennis, around, well, who owns that data that's being generated in my car as I'm driving along? Have I actually agreed to share it with anybody? And if I have agreed to share it with somebody else, for what purpose is that being shared? It's
now,
a big question.
In some ways, I'm thinking that it would be great for manufacturers, whoever they happen to be, it would be great to know that particular things were working really effectively and how often perhaps the distance thing between cars goes off, you know, the things that are most prevalent. But then on the other hand, when you get into sort of your cars, I haven't been in a Tesla, but I understand it's pretty well like having your laptop in the vehicle. I guess there could be all sorts of information as we move forward being sent, I don't know, for anything you're doing. You know, whether you pull into an Aldi or whether you pull into a Woolies type information.
Well, it's 100% correct. And look, it is sent. It's, you know, often it's satellite and it goes back to Europe or back to America. I mean, we've got part of this now. So, you know, if there's something wrong with your car, a little light comes up on the dashboard, says your engine's, you know, a little engine light comes on or another warning light comes on. In new cars, and certainly in Teslas, data can be downloaded into your car. So there's somebody in another country or another place in the same country that's looking at the data in your car. And as faults come up in vehicles, data bundles are sent out to vehicles to fix those data faults as the vehicle's moving. You know, the funny thing is, though, is if you've got a mobile phone and that phone crashes, it doesn't matter. But if you're in a car with, you know, 100 computers hanging inside that car and they start to fail, then that's a different thing entirely. But the telematics and the Bluetoothing of these vehicles means that they can accept a lot of this data as you're travelling. It also means that road management organisations and governments in particular, Dennis, want to collect data off of vehicles. Now, there's legislation and there's a whole lot of thinking about this in Australia at the moment, but they want to be able to collect information so they can plan roads better, so they can find out which roads are wearing out. So there's a whole lot of data that might come off the suspension system in cars that says, by the way, this road here is in a shocking state because every vehicle that goes down it, the front end's moving around. So it's not all bad, But I think what we need to know in Australia, and there's some discussions in the States and in the EU about this right now, is am I signing over that data use to the manufacturer? What is the manufacturer going to do with that? So is the manufacturer sharing that with an insurer, for example? Now, there's a paper that's been written recently that says that insurers can actually provide cheaper insurance to cars based on the driving behaviour of the driver.
Could it go further than that? If you're a, for instance, if you're a fast driver or perhaps a bit reckless or constantly breaking the speed limit, okay, is it possible that that sort of information could be eventually, with technology, passed back to like insurance companies?
Well, I think if there's a third-party agreement between the manufacturer or the data manufacturer and the insurer, the answer is yes. And I would be petrified if, for instance, you had an accident and there were all sorts of reasons why that occurred, and the insurer said, well, by the way, you were travelling at 64 kilometres in a 60-kilometre zone, so you're not insured and bad luck. So, you know, I think insurance in Australia and insurance in the motor industry, particularly in body repair, has got a horrible history in Australia. And the sharing of data with insurers, I'd have to be convinced that it was a great thing for motorists and not just something that allowed insurers to not pay out on claims because of their interpretation of a whole lot of data.
96900693, how do you feel with what Jeff is talking about tonight? How do you feel about your car, your privacy, your information, perhaps going off without you even knowing it? 8 to 10, 3AW, give us a call, 96900693 or 1313 32.
Neil Mitchell. Carol, who rang me on Friday, you heard from eventually when?
6:09 Friday night with got a text.
Gives you your say.
Well, that's 16 hours after they got the positive test.
Correct.
Every weekday morning.
We didn't get a call until Sunday.
Call it as you see it.
How do you feel about the way it's been handled?
Crap.
No, be frank with me, Carol.
With Neil Mitchell.
Carol, I appreciate your directness.
On 3AW 693.
5 to 10, talking automotive with VACC CEO Jeff Gwillim about car data, what data is being collected, what's it used for, how do they access it, what does it mean for the future? I'm just thinking, Jeff, that possibly every minute of every kilometre driven, every shopping stop, if you pull up outside the IGA on a regular basis, they could pretty well know everything about you.
Well, you can. It's been estimated, Dennis, that the 25 gigabytes of data per hour will go through a modern car. This is a car with high levels of autonomy in it. But again, Dennis, you end up asking yourself a question. Is it useful if I get a sign-up on the dashboard that says, Jeff, your tyres are getting low on tread?
Yep, that's great.
But also, we notice you go home this way every third Tuesday and there's a tyre store on the right-hand side halfway down. Why didn't you pop in there?
Not so great.
Is it good or is it bad? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we want that sort of... I don't think we want sort of an open suggestion of where we should shop.
Mm. Well, the vehicle manufacturers, and from now and again, people throw up these spurious arguments around people getting into the data in your car and stopping your car and all that sort of stuff. Very little evidence globally that happens, by the way. Their preference is to have the data not stored in the car, Dennis, but sent directly to an offboard facility, which is a big computer somewhere, and then to have part of that data peeled out. Some of it will go to the repair market, so the repairers can repair your car. That's dealerships and independent repairers. But other parts of it that they regard as security or safety may not. But what we need to know is, what are they going to do with that data? Where is that data going to be stored long term?
Yep.
Who's going to have access to it?
Bronnie, good evening to you. You got a question for Jeff?
Yes, I have, Jeff. Nice to speak with you, Jeff and Dennis. Look, I live in South Yarra and I'm often all over the place after dark. I see so many cars with no lights on. They're driving along Punt Road, they're driving on Toorak Road, they drive everywhere without their lights on after dark. Now, why can't they inbuilt something like that to actually alert people, to get their bloody lights on?
Well, what they do, it's called brains, and a lot of people have got autonomous lights, you know, that they can flick the switch to autonomous lights on their car, which means that as soon as it gets dark, they go on. Bryony, you wouldn't believe it. A lot of people turn that off. I think people, there are some people out there that are still worried about wearing their lights out.
Oh, please.
And they need to leave it on autonomous. That means as soon as it gets dark, even during the daytime, the lights come on.
Bryony, it is annoying. It just amazes me that you can be driving along in the dark and have your headlights not on, which means your lights on your dash are not on either, Jeff, which is astounding.
Right. Mm. Yeah, again, I think some people think they're saving the lights on their car. Well, they're not, because they're probably going to hit something. But, you know, modern vehicle systems are smarter than they used to be. They do offer a huge amount of capability and safety in vehicles as well. I mean, vehicles have never been as safe.
And
even though, Dennis, a recent report has shown that, you know, we've still got a huge accident rate in Australia with people not putting a seatbelt on.
I think there are other issues that are... With that, not putting seatbelts on.
Not putting seatbelts on, still today.
Unbelievable, but I'm sure it's correct. VACC CEO Jeff Quillam, talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Dennis.